Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always, I'm here to talk Big Brother 17 on robezawebsite.com with some different Big Brother house guests. Today, I am joined by two men who once paid $40 each to make custom t-shirts to get Aaron Grease and Jesse Kowalski's faces on them. One guy gets paid to yell at people on television, and the other guy is best friends with Mertz Jaffer. It's the great Alec Beal and Peter Brown, ladies and gentlemen. The Shield is here. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. yes. Best. This is new for us. We're used to hosting the Shield show, so it's kind of a role reversal. I don't know. I guess I'm excited. I guess I'm excited to go toe to toe with Peter Brown.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Thank you. Thank you, Jordan, for having us today. I think this is our first time on your show, so it's very good to be here. I'm excited to talk Big Brother 17.
I'm really excited to be on the anything affiliated with Rob as podcast, because we're big fans of Rob, and it's always fun to be on, you know, in his orbit and all that. So yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Hey, no worries, guys. Thank you for joining me. Really do appreciate it. I am a huge fan of The Shield. I have been since 2013, so it's a pleasure to have you guys on. I love you guys, so thank you very much for joining me. As always, this is a live and interactive show, so we're going to be taking your questions throughout the episode. So if you want to tweet us using the hashtag RHAP, my Twitter handle is at Jordan Parhar, or if you want to leave a comment on the YouTube video, you can do so as well, and we'll take your questions towards the end of the show. As always, we're going to start by talking about the TV show, and then we're going to get into the live feeds a little bit later. So for now, we're going to start talking about this crazy double eviction, which happened last night, which was nuts. We saw Shelly and Jackie both leave the Big Brother 17 house. A little bit of a wild night. But before we get into that, let's talk about the week that was, guys. So we had this interesting week. Becky is the HOA. She wins this endurance competition. And before that, let's backtrack a little bit. We see this scene on the Sunday episode, which shows Clay. Really, this is a little bit unprecedented. Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we have ever seen a house guest have a diary room after they've been evicted before. That wasn't on a double eviction. I don't know if that's the case or not, but we saw that in this episode here. And we saw this fight between Clay and Vanessa and James and Johnny Mack, in which it was really, really complicated. I don't know if you guys got lost. I got a little bit lost at times. And what happened was Johnny Mack told Clay that he wants to go after Vanessa because he doesn't really trust her. Clay went to Vanessa and told him that to try and give or told her that to give her a heads up. And what ultimately happened was there was this huge blowout. Vanessa said that Johnny Mack and Clay must either be gay lovers or brothers, one of the two. It was very, very confusing and interesting. I don't know what was really going on there. But ultimately, Johnny Mack, what happens is Vanessa calls them out. Johnny Mack, for those of you who don't remember, Johnny Mack, he ultimately says, no, you know, it was me. I was the one who said that I'm scared of want to go after Vanessa because I think she's coming after me. And there was just this huge mishmash of stuff going on. It really was a little bit nuts. And at the end of the day, Vanessa was the one who sort of as much. It was a big mistake by Johnny Mack, in my opinion, to go out and overtly just be like, yeah, it was me. I was the one who said it, when in reality, he came off fine. And it was Vanessa and Clay who actually came across poorly here. Peter, have you ever seen a scenario in which somebody has screwed up as royally as Johnny Mack did in this scenario, and he got away with it seemingly scot-free?
I do think Clay might be the first ever post-boot diary room, or if he's not, he's in a very small camp. I believe James was somehow involved in that equation too, at least in name.
You guys want me to hear? I'll really quickly just to clear that up. Clay went to Vanessa and said that James had told Johnny Mack that he needed to go after her. So Clay fucked that up. James wasn't at all involved when Johnny Mack and Clay were having their discussion about Vanessa. And then Clay, I guess in his own mind, either intentionally or unintentionally, misremembered that James was involved, told Vanessa, and then Vanessa pulls James into the room and is like, James, why are you telling Johnny Mack to go after me? I thought we were buddies. And James is like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So that all started with Clay, just to clear that up.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. There you go. But that's what happens. But just What the hell was that? Like, isn't that like by Vanessa, Alec, I know you're a huge fan of Vanessa's game. What do you think about this by Vanessa just point blank, just calling, bringing all four of these guys, these people together and just saying, okay, who said it? Is that not the wrong thing to do when you're absolutely in that situation?
I absolutely love it. And sorry, I didn't mean to cut Peter off to take his question there, but I absolutely love Vanessa's strategy. Just, she, in her mind, is a straight shooter. And so she's going to do things to make everyone else believe that she's a straight shooter, because ultimately, at the end of the day, if everyone's lying to each other and she's the one, you know, kind of bringing everything to air and being like, all right, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying, I'm going to get everybody together. You know that she's going to be pretty surface with you. She's not going to, like, you know, tell some like crazy lies and shit, because they'll all come back to her. That's her whole MO. So I don't know whether the house actually perceives her in that way, but I think that's how she's kind of looking out. She's like, okay, if I'm James, I'm going to perceive me, Vanessa, as this straight talking, you know, truth teller to the rest of the house. And that's the game that she's playing. So I do like that, you know, that kind of in your face, like, all right, somebody's lying here. Let's get to the bottom of it quick, because these things can snowball out of control. And next thing you know, I am like, people all start thinking that I'm coming, or every James and Johnny are coming after me or whatever. So she tries to nip it in the bud. I like that move.
Peter, what do you think about that, Peter?
I would say that John probably did the right thing. Kind of like how Alec was saying, you know, Vanessa has created this aura about her where she will put people on blast right in front of like a large number of people, small number of people. She doesn't really care. She's all about like making sure that the whole house knows that she's in the right and somebody else is in the wrong. So for John, if you're in that situation and you've seen her blow up on a bunch of different people and have them lie or try to be duplicitous or like keep some element of the truth out of the discussion, then Vanessa goes even crazier, which she's, you know, prone to do every week, it seems. So John just standing there going like, yeah, it was me. I did it. It was miscommunication. It's probably the best thing he can do, because then at least Vanessa can't go to somebody else and say, okay, now John's being a weasel. I know for a fact that he was lying. And you know me, as the truth teller, I know that, you know, when I say something about this guy, that means it has to be the absolute truth. So John is standing there and being like, yeah, I said this. I think this. This is, you know, kind of where my head's at. Sorry, like, that's just kind of the game we're playing. It's probably the best thing he could have done. If he would have tried to, like, backtrack and, like, put it all on Clay and be like, no, Clay's trying to stir up stuff because he's leaving and he's trying to protect Shelly and all this nonsense, that would have snowballed out of control, and that would have made things even worse. So I thought John probably did the right thing in that scenario. It just sucks that, you know, where Clay, I think, was trying to do something good. I think Clay was actually trying to put John and Vanessa together, I think, is what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Somehow Gene's thing and it all got screwed up, and then Vanessa just went into like defense mode, as she often does, to try to get to like whatever she feels is the truth. So it was a very interesting situation for sure, and another one of these things where it's like, well, who's Vanessa going to blow up on this week? And like, how is it not going to affect her negatively every time?
And you know what? I think, honestly, I think the luckiest person in that whole situation was Clay, because James would have beat the shit out of Clay. Can you imagine that fight? Like, 4 foot nothing James just even trying to reach Clay's head?
He used to work out of jail. He's used to dealing with these big
criminals. That's true. That's true. James is kind of a badass. I'm not going to lie to you.
James could definitely handle himself against Clay, although it would be a hilarious fight to see.
That would be a hilarious fight. We got to get him in the ring afterwards.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, James had that one quote earlier in the season where he said, "Well, I'm not scared. I had big tall men yell at me all the time before." Yeah. And it's just like, okay, wow. So that would be interesting. Maybe at the Big Brother 17 finale, Alec, we could potentially make this happen.
this Big Brother fight going on. Yeah, very down. Let's do it.
Yeah, we could also open our own sports book, so we could have maybe the Mixed Martial Arts Big Brother League only, so we could run it and then take bets and stuff like that. That actually would be really fun, and then people who are in these feuds could go fight each other. I think that would be great. I think this is something that we have an idea here. We need to definitely expand on this.
I think definitely, yes. I think the more Big Brother ex-house guests we can get punching each other in the face, the better. Absolutely. I'm all for that.
Oh, man. What would be the main event, though? That would be...
Okay, so do you guys want to hear like a really like weird diversion? Just really quick. I won't take up too much time with it. But when Nate first got out of the house, for some reason, I was fucking with Nate. Nate Sandry of Big Brother Canada 2. He was one of the exiled, whatever the fuck they were called. He comes back and I'm like, yeah, listen, Nate, I got to tell you something about the reality community, man. Survivor and Big Brother, we just don't get along, man. So sometimes at these reality events, we just have big rumbles. And he's like, yo, don't worry, man. I'm down to throw down, buddy. I got Big Brother's back. And I'm just sitting there like, can you imagine fucking like Philip Shepherd versus fucking Jeff Schroeder or something? We all have these big rumbles at reality events.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. Or potentially Philip Shepherd versus Nate Santry. I think that would be a battle for the ages.
That would be a nightmare. Holy fuck. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. Well,
sorry.
Man, we can do our own podcast on this potentially in the off season. I'll give you a call, Alec, and we can set something up about these walls. Talk about rumbles, like in the book The Outsiders. But yeah. Okay, so let's fast forward a little bit. So we had this endurance competition. It's the one where they have to run on the Crisco thing and go back and forth and fill up the bucket and so on and so forth. And for some weird reason, they didn't have like the separate buckets this year. They just had all the prizes in one thing. So Becky, stupid. Yeah, really, really dumb. I don't get why they did that. But alas, Becky wins Head of Household. She also wins $5,000 and a never not pass. Peter, what do you think about Becky winning this HOH here? She was playing the middle. She was kind of playing both sides prior to this week. So do you think that this was the wrong time for her to win a Head of Household? Or do you think that it was a strong move because she really wanted a big threat in Vanessa out of this game?
Well, we're over halfway point now in the game. And so we're in jury season. And that's usually when you see people's games start to change. So maybe Becky, having realized that, okay, I'm in the middle. I'm definitely not in power. I've got these, like, you know, you saw her go to Clay and Shelley to try to get them safe in the week that they were put up on the block. And then you see that she's kind of like the outsider group. She's definitely not with Sixth Sense. So she's going to identify with, you know, the other people, as it were, in the house. And coming off JP, which was a really successful week for them, it makes perfect sense for Becky to kind of keep that momentum going, the chug-a-lug-a-chug-a-lug-a of the train that is the other people, to keep that going. So I thought it was a good time for her to win, and I thought her targeting Vanessa was absolutely brilliant. I don't know how that ended up failing, but just as like a, you know, like an A and B right on paper, Becky choosing that moment to win, she kicked butt in that challenge, and then deciding to target somebody who they kind of collectively, as a group, at least acknowledged the possibility of in the week before. Because there was that meeting that everybody was a part of where it was like, we're going to do Clay and then Shelly and then Clay. And they kept going back and forth. And then people started to get wise to Vanessa in that meeting as someone who kept, you know, trying to push her agenda. So it was the right time to do those things. That just the outcome was not in her favor at all.
Yeah, no, that's wrong. I disagree with that completely. If you're a floater in Big Brother, you don't really have to win HOH too often, especially when there's such a strong division.
Like, she herself is a floater, though.
She's a floater. Yeah, she's a floater. She was in between giving Clay and Shelly that information. We all saw that scene where she rats out Meg, James, and Jackie. And she's like, oh, this is what they're saying up there. They're planning on getting you guys out. So she's playing both sides. She's in between. She has actually a decent position in the house. Doesn't need to win. It's kind of like, okay, if somebody from their camp wins, they'll go after somebody from the other camp. If somebody from Sixth Sense wins, they'll go after the other people too. She's not high on anybody's priority list. She doesn't have to win. And if she does win, say accidentally she wins, or she really wants the money or whatever and you know, can take the HOH with her. Because, I mean, I have not passed forever and $5,000. That's enough motivation to win, even if you really don't have to. So in that case, you play it safe. If you're a floater like Becky, you don't really have any major enemies at that point in the game. You put up Steve, another floater who's nobody's going to miss. He's not on either side. Just put him up, put somebody up as a pawn and get him out. Look, you got your $5,000, you got your never not pass, and you got no blood on your hands. How is that a bad move? I really don't understand.
That's not a bad move, but Becky doesn't view herself as that. Becky doesn't view herself as a floater, and you're coming off a week when it's James.
Well, she should not view herself as a Sixth Sense member, and she certainly should not view herself as the other people. And I hate how we've usurped that title from Big Brother 2 and applied it to Meg, James, and Jackie. But anyway, I don't know. She's not obviously, because James is like, like she's ratting him out and shit. And then James and Meg and Jackie put that together and they go against her. Becky is not, she's basic. She has no awareness of the game. She's basic Becky and sucks. And I hate how the fans have somehow gotten behind Becky after she has done nothing. Yes, she got hit by a train. And yes, she survived. And yes, she won an endurance competition. But who gives a fuck? Honestly, she is not good at Big Brother. Stop assigning these shitty players the role of good player. Oh, she's a good player. You know, she was trying to get Vanessa. It's not the right time for her to get Vanessa out. Vanessa's a great player. Don't get me wrong. So I think Becky's idea of getting Vanessa out is a good idea. But she doesn't have the clout to do it. She needs to wait until the other side can take her out. She's not the person that's going to take Vanessa out. She's the person that's going to skate literally because she won that skating Crisco competition to the end of the game simply by being in between both sides. And I thought she was playing okay up until that point. And then that's when your game gets exposed. What you do with the power is really how we define a good player. If somebody can go a while without getting power, then that's great. If they get power, then we really see what's going on in their head. And by Becky getting Shelly out in this week instead of her actual target, we see what kind of game player she is and we see what kind of pull she has in the house, which is fucking zero. So Becky sucks, and anybody that doesn't agree with me can tweet me about it. I don't give a fuck.
Okay, well, it's at Alec Beal for those wondering. But yes, Peter, go ahead.
At Berman Agent.
Everyone's making the argument like that Vanessa is like the self-appointed for her is good. What I'm saying is she – it obviously is not with Sixth Sense, but she's more closer to, like, if she's trying to ride the line in the middle, she just come off a week in which one of her, like, closer proximity allies, James, played a week in which he was, like, very bold. And it's like she wants to be someone who makes these, traditionally speaking, like, obvious big moves, whatever it is. So James, who just come off, like, relatively okay in his week by putting up Clay and Shelly, two huge targets in the house, and then they all agree to take out the other one in the next week, Becky wants to put herself in a position where she can do something that's memorable and good. Like, no, maybe it's not great in the overall spectrum of her game to put herself out there at that point. But it's like if she's feeling nervous and she's feeling like, no one's taking me seriously. I'm not winning anything. I don't have people who I can like directly go to aside from basically John. Then maybe she does feel that she needs to put herself out there. We know as an audience, we can look at it and go, maybe you should have waited another week or two. But if she's feeling the pressure and she's coming off, like she probably doesn't want like Austin or the twins to win because she can be in that equation for like, it's like, we'll put two people up. Maybe Becky's like, Becky's been up before. She's been up like two times up until that point. So it's like, this is someone who's tasted the block and can be a target of the Sixth Sense, who's the majority alliance in the house. So for her to like step up and be like, all right, no, I'm going to take out the person or attempt to take out the person that I think is the ringleader of this whole thing. That's not bad. Like, as you said, it's like Vanessa's a great player, and to try to get Vanessa out is never going to be a bad thing. It's just like Becky herself ultimately didn't have the clout, didn't have the pull. Like, she was too much in the middle. Whereas, like, the Sixth Sense are not going to trust her. And then he had James, Meg, and Jackie on
her now. Here's the thing, man. She could have used this HOH. I'll concede that maybe this was a decent week for her to win HOH. Maybe she's not the type of person that could skate all the way to the end, because you're right. She is kind of formidable. And you just look at her and you see kind of a comp threat as these games go. I have no idea why you see her as a comp threat. Everyone has an equal chance of rolling a ball down a fucking thing. But anyway, I think what she could have done with her HOH was dwarfed infinitely by the stupidity of what she did with her HOH. I think she could have made inroads with both sides of the house during this HOH, played it like, okay, I'm in the middle and I know I'm kind of in the middle. I'm good with kind of the leaders of both sides. Vanessa's offering me this deal. I can maybe take it one step further, take her deal and be like, okay, well, we can make this deal, but you know, I kind of want safety going forward. I kind of want to be part of this. And Vanessa, of course, will be like, yeah, sure. Like, you can be in it. Nobody's targeting you on my side. It's fine. We have other targets to go through first. Then she can go to James, Meg, and Jackie and be like, hey guys, we're all good. We're going to get this Shelly Steve plan out. You know what? I'm going to leave it up to you guys. If you want to go through the plan with Shelly, make it Shelly. If you want to go through with Steve, go through with Steve. I'm out of this kind of, I'm just putting up two targets. You guys fight it out amongst yourselves. She's now made deals with both sides of the house. No blood on her hands at the end of the day, except for either Shelly or Steve. And most likely Steve's the only one that's actually going to fucking like go after her like crazy because he's fucking psycho and dope. But at the end of the day, Becky could have come out of this in a great position with only one enemy. Instead, I have no idea where Becky stands. I honestly thought she was going to go in that second eviction. I was surprised and shocked that it was Jax.
So. Yeah, and we'll get into that in a little bit here, the whole Steve double eviction fiasco. But I want to talk about something else in that just to continue on that point a little bit, in that we saw that, yeah, Becky, she was in the diary room and she said, Vanessa, you're going home and all this stuff. And she's just so Vanessa, Vanessa, Vanessa. And she says, oh, I've worked Black Friday. I can handle Vanessa, no problem. All this crazy stuff. And then ultimately, Vanessa does not go home. It's Shelley instead. Is this a testament to how good of a player Vanessa is, the fact that she was able to survive this week? Or is this just showing that Becky is not the greatest player? Peter, what do you think about that?
Well, I think a lot of people always go, oh, the house move, the house move, the house move. And that can usually be attributed back to the head of household. Now, I think that's what Becky thought in her own head. I'm going to make this case. Vanessa, you're going home. I, as the HOH, I get to decide that. But you forget there are a bunch of people in the house who actually have to go in on Thursday night and tell Julie who they're voting for. And this is kind of the fallacy of the HOH and why people overvalue those that get power in the game. The power lies with the voters, 100%. You, by getting HOH, you get safety and you get the ability to, like, you're awarded the opportunity to push your weight around a little bit, but you still have to have people vote her out. So I think Becky got so caught up in this idea of making a great move and getting Vanessa out that she sat back a little bit, and then she or a lot, actually. She didn't really do a heck of a lot, and then she let everybody else who are the actual voters in the house sit there and go, well, wait a minute, hold on, is this really what we want to do, and shouldn't we do the thing that we wanted to do last week, and that was get the other half of Clelly out? Okay, well, maybe that seems like a pretty good idea. And now they've convinced themselves that Vanessa's not in a very good place, but Shelley's really dangerous and they have to get rid of her. So I think it was, again, Becky not being a particularly constructive HOH and just kind of relying on the tropes of, well, I'm the HOH and what I say goes. And she expected the person that she wanted to go. And they didn't. So she stopped playing and she let James and Meg and that kind of contingency of the house decide to change. And then as they did, Austin and the twins changed. Like, everybody was like at one point so ready to get rid of Vanessa, and then they all just decided to change because the HOH didn't have the stroke to get her decision to play out.
I agree with Peter. I'm a huge Vanessa advocate, as everybody knows, but I do think this is more a case of not so much Vanessa being like a brilliant strategist and game player, although there were some elements of that. She did have some agency in keeping herself safe. But I think it was mostly just Becky not really – like, there is a way to get Vanessa out in your HOH, Becky. It's to get everybody in the HOH room and convince them that they're the ones coming up with the idea. Maybe throw out, okay, who do we all want out this week? And then somebody says Shelly, and then everybody's like, oh, yeah, Shelly, that's a good plan, that's a good plan. And then Becky says, okay, what other targets? Vanessa. Okay, Vanessa. Yeah, why should we get out Vanessa, do you think? If she gets everybody involved in the plan, it becomes a group plan and a house plan. Rather than being like, here's what's going to happen. I'm putting up Steve and Shelly, and everybody's going to think Shelly's going, but it's actually Vanessa. Sits back, gets drunk, does some dumb shit to Vanessa, lies right to her face, which is such a fucking stupid move. There's no need for that. That's just basic Becky getting drunk and being like, ooh, I'm the shit now. I'm going to get you out and I hate you. It's so dumb. I'm sorry. That was just an awful, awful move. That HOH was just a fucking, that was more tragic than fucking anything that I've ever, that was probably worse than the train that hit her in the face.
Well, we have seen some more tragic HOHs if you want to go watch Big Brother Canada 3 and see week 5. But yes, I agree with you. Not the greatest head of household in the world, at least for this season. But yeah, for those of you interested and have not seen Big Brother Canada 3, definitely check that out. Textbook of how not to do your HOH. Okay. So the double eviction happens. And Steve wins this HOH here, and he makes this these nominees that are kind of out of left field a little bit here. He puts up Meg and Jackie, which I guess it makes sense because he's not really Steve. Again, as Alec had mentioned earlier, he's sort of in this floater type of position in the game. He has this allegiance to the Sixth Sense crew a little bit through Vanessa, but he doesn't have really a solid set crew. And I don't know about you guys, but were you guys surprised that we've seen for a few weeks now that Steve always over and over and over again in the diary room, he says how much he hates Becky all the time. He just hates her. We don't know why. He just really does not like Becky. And then all of a sudden we have him win Head of Household and you think, all right, here we go. Becky's going to go on the block. And then she doesn't. So what do you think that Steve was planning to backdoor her here? Or do you think that he kind of just got scared and threw two random floaters up here? Peter, as somebody who has been criticized for a move in a double eviction, what do you think here? Do you think that he just couldn't handle the pressure, or do you think that this was a rational move and this is the right move?
Well, I think Steve will be the first person to tell you that he has a hard time acting under pressure. I mean, that guy was frazzled big time. However, you don't go into a double eviction without, in those kind of situations, without having some idea of what you would do in certain situations. Now, things can happen on the fly all the time, depending on who wins what comp, who's on the block, what have you. But if you win the HOH, you should have a pretty good, you should always have an idea of who you're going to put up. If you are like anyone doing these HOHs, and unless you're planning on throwing it, you should know who you're going to put up if you decide to actually try to win it. So Steve, who is definitely, the biggest float, he's barely on the damn show. And it's not like he's one of these guys who's like secretly controlling things from the background. He's by himself most of the time. Now, Jason told us that in the reality of actual living space, Steve's impossible to get rid of. And a lot of people just find him very annoying, especially Becky, who just kind of like, gives him lip service all the time. So Steve's probably more annoying than the show is giving him credit for. And it makes more if he's if he sees this big alliance, or he has some sense of a big alliance on one side, you pretty much figure out if he's close to Vanessa, he knows that Austin and the twins are going to be together. That's kind of enough on like the one side to not want to go after that. And then he sees like the other side of people. He also knows that he's close to John and Vanessa. Like those are kind of the two people that he's closest to. So he's not going to go after John. And, it's kind of a case of who's left. If you actually start to kind of like dwindle it down, it's a case of, who remain. And then you had Meg and Jackie who remain. Now, I think it's a bit silly and a bit presumptuous that, if his target was Becky, which I believe that ultimately it was, he should have put her up, do like Becky and Jackie. Just because I don't want to see Meg on the block. Obviously, the poor girl was crying. It broke my heart. But you put up Becky and Jackie, and if you don't, and if Becky wins the veto or someone vetoes her off, then you can get rid of Jackie, who we also didn't like. And there was this misunderstanding thing about like who's going to backdoor who and why, and like the wrong information got to Steve. That's because people aren't utilizing Steve, and Steve's not being very proactive and trying to like make people use him. So, if Steve, from his own perspective, he got rid of somebody who we thought was going to be his enemy and Jackie, which is fine, but if his main objective is Becky, especially in a double eviction, just put them up. And so, I don't think it was a complete misstep, but he walked away with it relatively unscathed, and both sides are kind of looking at him as they always do. So as much as everybody was going nuts over that as it was happening, and it was phenomenal to watch, like that's one of my favorite double evictions, just because every turn was like, wait, what? And Steve's going to go right back to where he was.
Yeah, no, that I agree. That double eviction was that was a great episode. I was like I was at home alone, and I was like, woo! And when Steve won, I was like, yeah! And at certain points, Vanessa stayed. I was like, yeah! He puts up Jackie and Meg. I'm like, okay, maybe it's the back door. It's for Becky. And then if they like Johnny Mac doesn't use a veto, I'm like, what? What? What's happening? And then I had no idea who was gonna go until Jackie's speech, where she's like, I'll come back and I fucking hate how they reveal it in the speeches too. Like usually it's a foregone conclusion, and we know that now after having played in the actual game, like everybody knows who's gonna go home. But yeah, don't forecast it in your speech for future players. Anyway, I thought Steve, here's why I think he didn't put up Becky, and I could be wrong. I'm not a big live feeder and I'm not a big After Dark person, but just because John is so close to Becky and he's so close to John, that maybe he's like, okay, well, I have two allies basically in this house. One of them's John, one of them's Vanessa. They already hate each other. Like, I'm not going to piss off one of my closest allies by putting up like the girl that he really likes. Like, it's clear that John really likes Becky. So maybe that's it. Maybe he was just like, okay, I don't know where I stand with Jackie. So, you know, I don't really care if she goes, and maybe I can work Becky through John. I think maybe that's maybe what he was thinking.
Yeah. And I think from getting some information from seeing the feeds and After Dark and all that stuff, I believe that is sort of where his mind was at. He asked Johnny Mac to not use the veto on either of them and to keep the nominations the same. So I don't know if that's 100% correct. This was from last night. He might have just been saying that. I don't know. I think it was secondhand, but regardless, I think that, yeah, if for Steve's position right now, he knows that he doesn't like Becky. Becky's not the biggest fan of his either. But the fact that Vanessa stayed in the game means that she's probably going to be going after Vanessa going forward. And Vanessa is also likely going to be going after Becky moving forward. And because Johnny is close to Becky, Steve kind of wants to, you know, sort of ride the middle. And by getting rid of another floater, I think it almost kind of helps his position in the game, because like Peter said, now nobody's really considering Steve as a huge threat because there's lots of other people around that they can get rid of.
Now here's an interesting thing, because we keep calling Steve a floater, but I don't know if that's entirely accurate. I tend to think of somebody as a floater that's like not playing the game, not making inroads really with anybody, and it's just kind of like going to go where the power is and kind of shift like that. Whereas Steve, he's got his alliance, but his alliance doesn't really fall with like the alliance chart. It's kind of like Steve's in Steve's own little world, where his alliance is Johnny Mac and Vanessa, but they're on two completely opposite sides of the house. So like, he's not, in his head, he's not a floater, because he does have kind of an alliance, I guess, or like at least a strong bond with a couple people. I don't know if it's fair to call him a floater per se, other than in the sense that, yeah, he's not part of the two major alliances.
Well, he's a loner.
Say he's a loner. Yeah,
because he's got those two. He's got his two main allies though as well.
Yeah, but I think
those are his main allies, but they're not. You know, he is not their main ally.
Yeah,
with the exception of John, maybe. But John's kind of in the same boat. But Steve got really mad, like in the nomination. Steve got super mad when Becky or somebody called him out on a bunch of stuff. And then he was very frustrated about it in the diary room, basically saying that it was true, even though he had already won. Like, it was funny. Like, I think John told me, he's like, dude, you haven't won anything. You're not a threat. Nobody sees you.
Yeah.
Battle of Lock and a veto in like week one or two or something like that. So I think people just keep forgetting about Steve. And that's dangerous when you keep forgetting about somebody who's capable of doing stuff. And like, the guy obviously is.
Yeah. I think as much as you guys like to compare yourselves to Steve, I think I'm a lot like Steve in my people that I choose to like and dislike, because I really like Johnny Mac and I really like Vanessa. And I think I'm the only person on the entire planet that thinks that way. And I also hate Becky. So it's like I'm like Steve, basically, for people that I like and dislike in Big Brother 17, at least.
Wow, that's holy breaking news. Alec Beadle is the Canadian Steve Moses. I didn't even know that. Oh man, wow. So is Steve in 5 to 7 years, is he going to grow like, I don't know, is he going to grow another 5 inches and is he going to be shredded out of his mind?
Is he short? Is he a small guy?
I don't think he's that tall. He looks kind of short from watching him on the feeds. He's not as short as James. It'll be interesting. I'm excited to see how tall he is in real life. But
I do like Steve though. It's funny because like Peter was saying, he's basically invisible the entire show up until like 2-3 episodes, maybe in the last 2-3 episodes. And he has just shot up like a rocket in my mind. I at first I was like, oh man, I don't care about this guy. Like maybe he's doing some behind the scenes stuff we're just not seeing. And then I was like, no, he's probably not. But then he's just like, you kind of learn about him as like a person. And it's like, okay, he's just a quirky, weird character that you kind of can't help but love. His like, he's just so inept in a lot of like social situations and stuff. And it's kind of endearing. So I'm a Steve fan as of like 3 episodes.
100%. I love Steve too. He's awesome. And it just his awkwardness and how quirky he is and the whole, I love you. And then Davon said, wait, what? And he said, oh, never mind. Like that whole scene. I mean, he's awesome. You got to love that kid. I can't wait to meet him someday.
Yeah.
But speaking of people, Peter was talking about Steve and Johnny and all this stuff being kind of forgotten about. Speaking of people that are kind of forgotten about, the Twins are two people now that have kind of been in the game for, I guess it's been 2 weeks now that they've been together, and nobody has really even brought them up as a target, even though they are so close to Austin. So before we get into the live feeds here, guys, why do you think nobody is really considering the Twins as a huge threat? Because back way back in Big Brother 5, as soon as Adrian and Natalie were in the game, their game kind of blew up and they crashed and burned. So it's been very interesting.
I think the reason why they haven't been targeted is because, or like even floated out as potential target. Like, I mean, obviously in the back of everyone's mind, you would hope, unless they're really stupid, they're going, okay, there's two of them. They're related by blood. At some point, they got to be on the block against one another. And it's so, like everyone but Austin's kind of thinking that, and you would hope. But I think the reason why that hasn't really been floated out there yet is because they're super likable. And I think they come off as stupid. So I think the way that they talk and kind of the way that they react to things, I by no means think that those girls are dumb or unintelligent or don't have their kind of finger on the pulse as what's going on in this game. I think they're actually in a really good position, and I think they know what's going on in there more than anyone would probably give them credit for. But I think that they're just like they're kind of wacky and they're a bit silly, and then they kind of have this weird goofball relationship with one another and the other people in the house. So I think like if I was in there and kind of like looking at the outside, it's like, oh, those are just the Twins, and we can deal with them at some point because they're probably not going to be able to win themselves out of trouble, and they're not going to be able to win these competitions and things like that. That's what you would tell yourself as kind of the opposition. You would just think, we can deal with them at some point. They're probably not going to come after me. You just think of them as like innocuous, you know, just the bystanders in the house there to have a good time. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but like, that's how like I think I would see them if I wasn't with them in the house. Whereas like in reality, it's them two with Austin and Vanessa, ride or die till the end. Like you could very well be looking at your final four in this game with Austin and his twins and Vanessa. That's a very likely alliance that's essentially working together since the beginning of the game to get to the very end of it. And, you know, and then you could, there's a possibility you could see Liz and Julia as the final two. That's within, you know, reach in this Big Brother 17.
Yeah, I agree. I think they came in underestimated, and how could you not? They're a gimmick. You're always going to underestimate a gimmick. I'm sure Eric Stein was underestimated as the America's player in season 8 or whatever. Like I think they're great. I think they're standalone. Honestly, they could stand alone on any season as a single, either Liz or Julia. And the twin twist is just kind of a bonus because I really enjoy them interacting with one another. It's in terms of gameplay, I think, yeah, it's mostly their position and likability. I don't think they've made too many enemies. So I think that's probably the key to why they haven't gone up or been kind of discussed as a target. It's because nobody really dislikes them. I think you'd kind of have to, like, I mean, we as an audience get a small taste of them. But from what I've seen, it's like, okay, well, I mean, yeah, their voices are annoying. Like, you put Austin's hat together with these twins' voices and I start believing hell. But
oh my God, Alex.
Come on. Liz, what are you doing? Yeah, just, oh my God, fuck, holy hell. Yeah, it's pretty nasally, but yeah, I don't know. I agree with Peter. I think, yeah, they're likable and they could stay. Yeah. They could stay in potential.
All right. Well, we have talked about the twins. Let's talk about the live feed. So if you do not want to know who won the HOH following the double eviction, you can tune out now. You can join us after the Sunday episode, and don't forget to tune into Rob as a podcast Sunday night, after the episode in which Rob is going to be talking to Shelley Moore from Big Brother 13. So definitely check that out, and we will see you guys then. Okay, spoiler time. We had our HOH crowned last night, and it is indeed one of the twins. It's Liz this week. So Liz is your head of household, and she has nominated everyone's favorite, Johnny Mack, unfortunately, and Alec Beal's least favorite, Becky, have been not so together. They are nominated, and it looks like Johnny Mack, unfortunately, is the target this week. Peter, do you think this is the right move for Liz and the twins going after Johnny Mack?
No, well, probably not. It would make more sense, I suppose, to go after James ultimately, James or Becky probably would make the most sense. If John is the target, here would be my fear, is that he would be so like, well, it is what it is kind of thing, and not quite give up, but like I don't know that he would necessarily put up the fight, especially if it's against his beloved beau, Becky. So John's best case scenario is to win the veto, which he's certainly proven more than capable of doing. He can win these random competitions. He's won an eight, a few vetoes now, and then, you know, it's very possible that he can win another one, get himself out of trouble again. So that would be the best thing for him. I'm not quite sure why, like, I'm not as up to date live feed wise as you are, so I don't know why it's the John and Becky. Maybe it's because they are somewhat of an identifiable pair on the other side, I would think. But I guess maybe it got out. John didn't use the veto to save Becky. If they really don't like Becky and then they see John as the closest person, that makes sense. But really, the person who they should be targeting, if it's not Becky, is probably James. Because if that guy gets in power again, or someone close to him gets in power, they're not going to be afraid to like put up big targets again. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it. I mean, it's obviously horrible that Johnny Mac is up. That sucks. And the show, honestly, the show has been so great so far. Like anything you want as a Big Brother fan is in there. Like, even if you like Showmances, you at least get like a little taste of it. And if you hate Showmances, like I don't know, every sane person that watches the show, then you only got a small taste of them. So that's good. And then the fucking Liz, Julia, Austin dynamic is just funny because Julia hates Liz. Anyway, I can go on and on about how good the season is. But in terms of whether that's a good move for Liz, I mean, if I was going to put two people up, if I were Liz, like we just discussed, Liz doesn't really have any solid enemies. So if in the absence of enemies, the enemies of your friends become your enemies. And so the two people that have, like, Austin doesn't really have too much bad blood with anybody. Julia certainly doesn't either. Vanessa is her third closest ally. So, you know, Johnny Mac and Becky are the two people that have really put up fusses about getting Vanessa out. So maybe, I mean, I doubt she's doing this, but in terms of like a you know, gestalt of her moves, I don't think it's necessarily that bad an idea to take out two big threats to one of your main alliance members. So maybe that's what she's doing. She could be protecting Vanessa, or maybe that's not what's going through her head, but indirectly she is protecting Vanessa, which could ultimately be good for her game.
Yeah, I think that, like you mentioned, that's always a good idea to the when you're in a situation in which you don't really have a ton of enemies like Liz, the enemies of your friends become your enemies. And clearly, after the whole Johnny Mac fiasco last week, I think that Vanessa and those guys are a little bit concerned about Johnny Mac. But hopefully, for our sake, the viewers at home, I agree with you, Alec, it has been an excellent season. I really would hate to see Johnny Mac go at this point, but maybe at the same time, though, if he does go, it wouldn't be the worst spot, because maybe, I don't know, I wouldn't be shocked if Grodner and company just threw out a popularity vote for who do you want to go back in the house, and we see Johnny Mac back in there in a few weeks. So I guess we'll have to wait and see for that one. What, and one thing I wanted to talk about too in the main segment before we got into the live feeds was on Wednesday, we saw after weeks of Liz saying, oh, I don't really like Austin that much, I don't like him. She just said, yeah, me and Austin, like, I like him now, and like, we're together. What do you think about that? Do you think she actually really likes Austin? Like, what the hell is this mess? Like, what's happening here? Can you explain what's going on to me, Alec?
Oh God. Yeah. Fuck. I don't know, man. To be honest, like, the only thing I can think of is like, and I'm kind of erring on the side of like production isn't actually pushing it for them. Cause like, you could easily see it being like, well, you know, Clay and Shelly are gone. There's no real showmances in the house. And then Liz is just kind of like, yeah, all right, fuck them, I guess. But I think honestly, like, it sounds dumb and I hate to bring the like lighthearted nature of the show to this point, but when you're in the house, you know, things are different from the outside world and you spend a lot of time with somebody and, you know, you can overcome things that you wouldn't be able to overcome in the outside world. And you tend to get closer and closer. And, you know, as it gets more uncomfortable in the house, which it tends to do week after week, you start to cling to people that are close to you more. And, you know, relationships in the house can develop and can form. So if I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, yeah, maybe these feelings did develop and they've been slowly developing and she's been kind of trying to push them away. But, you know, now she's kind of finally been like, all right, he's a pretty sweet guy. Like, he's got my best interests at heart. So, you know, these feelings are kind of genuine.
It's the Urkel method. He's, I'm wearing you down.
I'm wearing you down.
You just get bored in there. And I think she was just like, well, this guy's obviously into me. I mean, name enough. We might as well go with the showman's thing, I guess. Like, that was like, you know.
Which it's is funny, my opinions of Austin have gone up and down, too. Much like a lot of people on this season, my opinions of James have gone up and down. Like, the only people that have been consistent are, like, Johnny Mack and I've always hated Meg and Becky, but that's just me. But like, I think there's a lot of, like...
I've not always hated Becky. You go through spurts of, like, oh, look at
her. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I love Becky.
All right, no, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay, fine.
I've always hated. I will say that. But I've always loved.
Yeah, Becky, fine. All right, she fucking... I don't know what happened. I don't know why I suddenly be, you're right. I fucking totally flipped on a dime on Becky. I like hate Becky now. I used to have Becky posters on my wall. I ripped them all off.
Wow. You had Becky posters on your wall? Like,
yeah, man. I'm going to get a Thomas the Tank Engine t-shirt and wear it in Vegas and just fucking run up to her.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Seriously, I'm actually serious. You should do that and get a selfie, post that. That would be incredible, Alec. If you could pull that off, yeah. Oh my goodness, that would be something. My goodness,
Steve's face like superimposed over the Thomas the Tank Engine. Oh fuck! All right, that's my next tweet.
Oh, that's awesome. There you go. Okay, there you go. We're coming up with Alec Beal's great tweets live on the Big Brother Happy Hour. This is amazing. All right. Now, Alec, you were talking about going back and forth with Austin. Peter, I know somebody was saying in the comments that you were a big fan of Austin earlier on in the game. What do you think about Austin's position right now? And do you think he has what it takes to go all the way?
Yeah, I like Austin because there are very few people in the world who love Big Brother and professional wrestling with about an equal amount. And Austin does. So you work for WWE. That's my, you know, dream job. He's playing Big Brother. That was my dream game. It's like, you know, it's like Austin and I have a lot in common. So he was my kind of number one pick overall. I still like him. The best thing that I saw Austin do all season was he demonstrated the ability to get himself out of trouble. When you're like being potentially put up or on the block, this is one of the hardest things in Big Brother to do. And he was able to successfully do that by hook or by crook, by tears or by truth. He did it. And since that point, he's kind of been sitting pretty. He's in this little nice little nook with the girl that he likes. He's got another one of them circulating that area as well. And he's also closely aligned with arguably the smartest or best player in the house. So positionally, Austin is doing great. And the big fear about him going into the season was, how is he going to hide his natural physical ability? How is he going to hide his charisma or his charm or whatever? And he's been able to do that. A lot of people, like Jason was saying, how like irritated his musk is and how much he smells and he only showers once a day and all these things. And it's like he's got a clear showman. It's like there's a lot of things that could build up against Austin. Sometimes he's kind of annoying. But something about him is likable and non-threatening enough, and he's completely downplayed his athletic ability to the point where people aren't viewing him as a credible threat to win, which makes him potentially the biggest threat to win. In contrast to like someone like Vanessa, who is obviously another potential win candidate, but you're starting to see people like look at her sideways and be like, this chick, if we let her get through so many more weeks, she's going to win the damn thing. And like that, like at some point that's going to catch up with you. Whereas Austin just sitting there with two beautiful blondes and with a smile on his face.
Yeah, I think it's been quite the turnaround for Austin, and it's similar to, I feel like, even better almost than last year we had. And it's interesting because we had Beast Mode Cowboy early on in the game, and he was obsessed with Amber and he wanted to order millions of prescriptions of her magazine when that comic book challenge happened. And ultimately Amber goes, he stays in the game and he goes and he makes it to Final Four and he actually plays a somewhat decent game. Austin, now again, early on, people see as him as if he's obsessed with Liz. He's not focused on the game. Ultimately, Liz and Austin are together. They're both still in the game, but Austin is kind of shit. He was in a really kind of a tough spot. There was a few weeks in a row where Clay and Shelly were not really too on board with him. Now both Clay and Shelly are gone. Vanessa questioned him that one time, and now he's in a spot. Yeah, like you mentioned, he's got these twins beside him, and it doesn't really seem like anybody wants to go after them right now. So, I mean, kudos to Austin. I think he's done a really good job. Let's get into some of these questions here. And first, a lot of these questions are, I think there's this guy who Alec is posing. It's really Alec Beal. He's just posing in the chat room as someone else. He said, Becky is a flip flop. Becky, yeah. Quote, Becky is a flip. I can't even say it. Two-faced ass clown. Wow. That is what. Yes, that is. Wow, Russell S is really Alec Beal. That is. Wow, that is. Those are not kind words for Becky. I disagree with that completely, Russell S. But wow, Alec, come up with a better name, my friend. Okay, here we go. Here's a question from Tanner 84, and she asks, if Steve goes far in the game, will he win? Nobody seems to like him, and who will vote for him in the end? A pretty good question here. Yeah, Peter, right now, can Steve win a jury vote?
Probably not, but it also depends on who he's as of right now, probably not, but it depends on who he's sitting there with and kind of how the last like week and a half to 2 weeks go. If Steve puts on, a string of comp wins, he somehow found himself in like a nice little four-person splinter alliance, and he's at the top of that somehow, like a handful of votes, and he gets enough people that can at least vouch for him in jury, maybe. I think he's got a hard road to the end, jury-wise, but it's not. We've seen stranger things happen.
Alec, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I hate to say it this year. I don't think the best strategist will win. I think if it gets down to like Vanessa and Meg, Meg would win because Vanessa's gonna fuck some people over. And so, yeah, there you go, Peter. You got
Peter,
and he gives me some coin every now and then. In terms of Steve, though, I think he's kind of. I could see him, as a not super likable person within the house. And if I'm going to stick to that kind of mentality, yeah, I think somebody more likable will be in the end with him. Like, I can't see there's not many pairs that I can see Steve, edging out the other person because everybody else is pretty well liked in that house. They all seem to get along together. Maybe Vanessa, he could beat Vanessa in the end just because Vanessa's going to fuck some people over by the end of it and nobody really likes her. But yeah, I think in terms of likability, Steve needs to kind of ramp it up. Maybe Johnny Mac can do work for him in jury because I think Johnny Mac really likes Steve. I don't know. It's tough to say. It's a good question, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony1996 asks, how come nobody talked to Steve after the HOH comp? Did they care about him? Yeah, this was interesting. He wins. There's a double eviction. You guys have both played in double evictions. Usually when the HOH wins, somebody goes running to that person trying to talk game and scramble. And we saw last night Steve won the HOH and everybody kind of just left him alone. Why do you think that happened, Peter?
Well, probably because in the normal, basically, double evictions are accelerated real-time events that would normally happen in a Big Brother week. So if in a normal Big Brother week, your part of your daily routine is to go to Steve and see where Steve's at and what he might be doing. And, if you win this week, what are you kind of thinking? And here's what I'm thinking, da 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 da. And then you get to this moment where everything's super accelerated and it would be, like, unusual. Like, if, for example, in our season, if Suzette won a double eviction and then we run up to Zette, we're like, all right, now what do we do? Like, all right. It's like it's unbelievable. And it's
yeah, but we would have done that, though. I'm sure we would have been like, GVRD, GVRD, let's get fucking somebody else.
That's an example. But generally speaking, it's like, if you don't have a direct relationship with that person, then you're probably not going to go out of your way to like, okay, you're just kind of like left cards fall as they may. That's what, like, some people complain about double evictions and they're like, you know, they don't like them because it screws people over. That's not true. Like, that's 100% not. Of all the twists or whatever to screw people over, double evictions are not one of them, because it's like, it's basically the accumulation of all the things that you've done up until that point. So if you have a bad relationship with Steve up until the point in which he wins HOH in the double eviction, a 10-second conversation being like, oh man, we're good, that's not going to help you.
Although Topaz did get kind of screwed on that double eviction. But anyway, I think Steve... I'm kidding. I think it's actually more to do with Steve himself. He's just kind of a neurotic, weird dude, and he kind of probably just isolated himself and was just like, nah, and people were just kind of like, okay, maybe Steve's kind of going through some shit right now. We'll give him some time.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, we saw on the Sunday episode, Steve said, I'm a strange person. You hit the nail on the head, brother. You got lots of self-awareness, which is something I love. Yes, Steve is a very strange person, but we love him to death. He's great. Oh, man. Okay. We'll take a couple more questions here before we wind things down. Pierce Brooks asks, who do you guys think is the best player this season, male and female? Alec, let's start with you.
Start with me, eh? Jesus, I know what you're expecting me to say, Vanessa, but I think the best player is the person that fucking wins. I think the best player is the person that gets to the end, not only gets to the end, because gets the jury votes to win, convinces the jury to vote for them, and then the majority vote for them.
But so right now, though, right now, who do you think has the best chance of pulling that off then?
Holy fuck. Honestly, man, if I had made predictions. Okay, I'll make female prediction. Okay. Meg.
Okay.
I honestly don't think she's playing the best game to answer the kid's question, but I think that in this season, I for some reason, I feel like Meg will appeal to everybody in the jury if she gets to the end. And I think she really has the ability to get to the end. I think she has staying power. I think she's under the radar enough to get to the end. So I think in terms of best person who I think has the best chance of winning the game, I'm going to say Meg is a female player.
All right, Peter, let's throw it to you.
I like Alec, I agree that the best player of the season is the person that convinces the majority of the jury to vote for them. So it's hard, like, but also, you know, people can be playing good at different times and bad at different times. However, I would say that for girls, a person who has the most likely chance of getting to the end relatively unscathed could be Julia, and she would have a very interesting case as to how she would to convince the jury to win, simply because she was part of this twist. That alone might be kind of like, she was here and she wasn't here and there wasn't, and like that's a really interesting case. And so I would kind of like to see her or Liz in the finals. And for guys, you have to say Austin, because Steve isn't playing particularly well, at least in the traditional sense. John isn't really, as much as we all love him. James is a pretty damn good player in his own right, absolutely. But he's also the type of player that, so like, boldness is going to receive boldness in return. So when James is like, I'm not afraid to get blood on my hands, I'll put it on my face like war paint, you gotta expect to have that coming right back at you. And whereas like Austin's sitting real good. So for guys, just by process of elimination, it has to be Austin, because he's sitting pretty, as we already talked about. And girls, I think it's just interesting that nobody's looking sideways at Julia, who came in technically like halfway through the game and is the identical twin of the person who they, you know, thought that they were living with.
Oh, those are excellent points. I'm with you too. I think that's interesting. Not a lot of people I don't think would say Julia, but I also don't disagree with what you're saying. I think that, yeah, she's done a phenomenal job. And the fact that both of them really have, and the fact that neither of those guys have really come up as a target, just speaks to the fact that what Alec was talking about earlier is that nobody really dislikes them. And that is something that's huge in Big Brother. When you're there for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if people like you, you're already ahead of the pack, because there's so many people in that house that are annoying. Robin Cass finds people to fight with each other that are not going to like each other. So, no, kudos to those guys. Alec, do you have a male that you're going to go with, or are you just going to pass?
Shit. I mean, Peter got it. Yeah, I'd say Austin. But Austin. Honestly, man, if I want somebody to win, I'm going to say Johnny Mac. I think the fucking world would go on fire. I think Jupiter would come crashing in and just the gravitational orbit of Johnny Mac's charismatic personality would just fucking bring it in and collapse the universe if he won the show. I think I'm ready to die, boys.
If Johnny Mac wins this show, this season, I think that Big Brother 17 will probably be remembered as one of the greatest seasons ever. Yeah, I think
it has a chance, honestly, man, to be remembered as one of the best seasons, regardless of who wins. I honestly, there's not a person here other than Becky that I could be like, wow, you win and I fucking hate it. Like even Meg, it's like, whatever, Meg played a solid game. Like, I don't know. I think anybody that wins it, I could be like, fuck, okay, cool. It's all good, other than Becky.
Yeah, just a testament to the cast. But
well, Becky, great cast, yeah.
Again, sure. Yeah, bringing back the Steve Moses and Alec Beal comparisons that Alec just had on Becky. All right, so we're going to take one more question, and that comes from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. So if you want to become a patron and support Rob Has a Podcast, you can do so by going to robhasawebsite.com/patron. And this question comes from Matt Ligori, and Matt asks, hey guys, what are your power rankings of the top five players we're most likely to see return for an all-star season? Peter, who do you got? Who's your top five that you think have the best shot of playing this game again? And
from this season?
From this season, we're including everybody from this season. So if you've been evicted, then we'll still count. We'll count those people as well. So Davon, Jason, Clay, Jace, Audrey, Large Jeff, they're all included.
Okay, top five. Well, they're not going to be fun. I know that in All-Stars proper, there was four from season six, but I don't think that
there will be five. There will be five. So let's say three. Let's say three, just to be somewhat realistic.
Five because that was his question, but I mean, okay. That's never going to happen. I would say Johnny Mac for sure is one. I honestly don't think any of the pre-jurors. Maybe Jason, but I just
not Mama Day. You wouldn't want to see Mama Day play this game again?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I think you got everything. Like nothing against her, but it's just like if you're thinking it's an all-star cast, there's gonna be a very slow number of people from any given season, and they have to be like the most standout people. So it's like the people who have stood out the most this season are John. The twins, maybe it's a Big Brother UK thing where they literally play as one, you know, one entity or whatever, like, but they're both in there.
You can't do that. You have to choose two. They have to be both being two. You got to take two.
Both of them, yeah. John, Julia, and Liz, and I'd say Austin and Vanessa with the possible, I think that's why, yeah, that's five, but with the possible exception of, like, you could swap out one of the twins for Shelly.
I'm going to go, okay, obviously, I'm going to go Johnny Mac. I'm going to go who I would want to see in All-Stars. So I'm going to go Johnny Mac, Vanessa, obviously, Davon, Jason, and the twins as one player.
All right. Well, there we go. Alec Beal said you can't do that, and, well, ladies and gentlemen, he did.
Real good double standards. This Alec.
Yes.
Bad boy.
Alec Beal's specialty. I think Audrey is someone I would like to potentially see again because I think she would do it differently. And I think it would be awesome if we could have Devin and Audrey in the same house together potentially. But I agree with you guys. I think you guys got solid lists there. I think James too. I think it, potentially depending on what he does the rest of the way, I think he's been a little bit of an interesting character as well.
I agree. It's a great cast. It's like over, like they really like Robin and her team. You can't episode like this. Like not only do you have to cast individuals, but you also have to like, you know, cast a collective, you know, the entirety of a season. And something about this season has just really – I thought last year was really strong too. I don't know why people say it's a boring season. I think there are a lot of super memorable characters from last year as well. But, I mean, this year has really really done great for Big Brother USA.
Yeah, I would describe casting a or putting together a cast of Big Brother players as putting together a jigsaw puzzle. And all of these pieces this season, they're all great on their own, but they fit together so well. And I think, like you said, Robin has just done a phenomenal job. You guys tweet Robin Cast for us, please, at casting. Just at casting on Twitter. Let her know how good of a job she's done, because she's doing excellent. Love
she
Robin
takes
Cast.
A lot of shit when like for other seasons.
Yes,
like
she, right. You
know, people will let her know. People will let her know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, fine. If you want to tweet Robin Cass and say, why did you put that idiot Jordan Parhar on Big Brother Canada 3? Then fine, do that and say that. But don't, not about this season. Big Brother 17, they got a great crew of people.
I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, it could just be a contrast effect from Big Brother Canada 3, which was the most recent season. To this one, I mean, a pile, you know, you put a pile of horse manure next to, you know, a pile of spiders, and the spiders start looking pretty damn good. So,
how dare you? How
dare you?
Right? You going out there making analogies? All right, at least I'm giving it a shot, goddammit.
How dare you, Alec Beal? How dare you insult my season?
I'm kidding. I love Godfrey.
Yo, Alec, because you said that, yo, when I go on All Stars, your blood will not be on these hands, yo. So there you go. Okay, well, that wraps things up for today's Big Brother Happy Hour with The Shield. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. Peter, Alec, you can you guys have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Shield Show.
Yeah, man. So Shield Show every week on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ also Peter Brown. Alec and I usually do it every Friday or Saturday. This week, of course, we're on this show, so we're going to be doing it on Tuesday, I think. But every Friday or Saturday, we usually come on, same idea, talk to someone from Big Brother's past about Big Brother's present, and it's a lot of fun. You can find me on social media, everything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, at also Peter Brown.
And I'm also becoming a YouTube superstar. I now have 3 videos up on my YouTube channel. 2 of them are from several years ago, but 1 of them is recent.
I saw that one. It was good.
Thank you. I'm trying to become a YouTube sensation superstar, so everyone can go follow me. I don't remember my YouTube name, but just find me somewhere. And go follow AJ. Make it interesting. Yeah. Go follow AJ on social media. Just follow him. Make it interesting. You won't regret it.
Lots at Alec Beal as well, if you want to follow the great Alec Beal. Also,
more analogies to come as well.
Yes, more analogies.
Related analogies.
And more love of the great train wreck Becky from Alec's Twitter. Now, before we get out of here, I wanted to ask you a philosophical question. Actually, 2 things I wanted to bring up. 1, Alec, you brought up this great comparison of what Vanessa looks like the other day to me, and I want to see if other people agree with us. Alec, would you care to share that with the audience?
No, it's not entirely her appearance, but it's everything. The entire, you know, her personality and her appearance. Kind of a mix of John Nash from Beautiful Mind, as well as Squidward from SpongeBob SquarePants. So just picture those 2 just smashed together in 1, right?
I think it's great because the hat that Vanessa always wears is the same like the color as Squidward. Yeah, so
but honestly,
that was great.
Kind of a hot little squid, so yeah.
So there you
go. Did you guys think that she looked good? I thought she looked really good in the double. When she's all dressed up and shit, I think she looked really good.
Vanessa is a beautiful woman, absolutely.
Damn right.
So is Alec Beal. I mean, a beautiful man, I should say. But but anyway, another thing that I wanted to talk about real quick, Alec, unfollowing people on Twitter. Why do you do it? Can you please tell the audience?
Stop getting mad, everyone. It's just it's a little button. Fuck, I have all your numbers. I text you God, I don't get it. I don't get why people get up in arms about it. It's really not like a slap in the face. Like Aaron Grease, I don't hate you. Cara Monaco, I don't hate you. I'm just like, I don't I'm sorry, but like, I don't know. If you want to unfollow me for the shit I say too, like some of it's boring. It's all Big Brother too. If you don't like hearing about Big Brother, then don't follow me or something. Like, I don't know, Aaron, like not to pick on Aaron, but like she tweeted a lot about her wedding planning stuff. And it was just like, I don't know, man. Like if I don't know. Okay. Now I feel awful saying that about, but just don't get so mad about it. It's like, whatever. Like Dr. Will followed me. It was the greatest moment of my life. He unfollowed me probably like 3 days later, but I didn't give a shit because it was like, okay, fuck, cool. Like, he knows I exist. It's all good. Like, honestly, like, I don't know. I don't get it. And yeah, so stop. Just don't hate me. I'm sorry if I go on rampages of unfollowing.
Oh, man. So do we have permission to unfollow you, Alec?
No, I already fucking told you guys in that group chat. If either of you unfollow me, I will murder you. I'm not lying.
All right. Well,
knives in the back. I don't cut meat, my friends. I cut man flesh.
Man flesh. Oh, goodness. Well, this podcast came to a screeching halt. All right. Well, yes. Ooh, okay. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour. If you want to support the show, a few ways you can do so. You can go to YouTube and subscribe to the Reality TV Rehapups channel. And that way you can see each and every one of our shows every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. You can go do that by going to robhasawebsite.com/rehappyhour. That is happy hour with an R at the front. And if you want to leave us a review, tell us how, or tell me how I'm doing on this podcast. We got a bunch of new reviews this week on iTunes, and I really do appreciate that. So if you can continue to do that, everybody who leaves a review, I will throw your name into a hat at the end of the season and draw one out, and that person will win a 30-minute Skype call with me. Again, not the greatest prize, but I'm poor. And that's all I can give you. So unfortunately, that's what you're going
to
get.
I honestly, like, just to say real quick, I love the Rob as a podcast viewers. And I love the comments. So like, I do read the comments after I do the Rob has a podcast anything. So I just people hate us. <It's awful>. Peter, have you ever read those comments? It's like, never have Peter and Alec on the show again. They're awful. I hate them.
Well, like, that's why you guys got relegated to the B team with me.
Yay! Where I want to be, team.
No, seriously, Rob loves you guys. So I think he just likes to use U.S. house guests for BB17 coverage. But I'm sure you guys will be back on for many more podcasts with him. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for joining me. Hashtag for this episode, if you guys want to tweet us and let us know what you thought about the show, you can use the hashtag. Let's see, something we talked about today. Let's go hashtag unfollow Alec. So if you want to tell us how you did or how we did, tweet myself. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Tweet Peter. He's at also Peter Brown again. And Alec Beal is at Alec Beal, but don't follow him. Make sure you unfollow him. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Check out Alec on YouTube. Next week, I'll be joined by the great Sarah Miller from Big Brother Canada 2. So make sure you check that out. It's going to be a really fun show. We'll be talking about Liz's HOH and everything that she did. Should be a fun week. Okay, guys, for Alec Beal and Peter Brown, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag unfollow Alec. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.